Welcome to the Philip Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:18, that's Pacific Summer Time, and today is October 5th. Well, a quieter day overall today, considering the fireworks that we had yesterday in the precious metal markets, and there has been obviously considerable talk about what does this all mean. But what we have definitely seen is that the silver, the gold, and platinum prices are now trading in the region of their respective trend means, regardless of how one, whether one wants to say that's a simple moving average, an exponential moving average, a weighted moving average. We don't look on those as sacrosanct levels, but rather that a mean reversion has occurred. So this is a natural area for support to be found. Silver was unchanged today. Gold, pretty much unchanged as well, and platinum was down about $10 to confirm that demand is returning to dominance. Clear upward dynamics are going to be required, and I think that is perhaps the theme for the audio, because when we look at Europe or the Euro Stoxx 50 or the Euro Stoxx broader index, they're trading in the upper side of their ranges for the year. And it is a clear move above the respective trend means is going to be required to really ignite investor interest once more and to confirm that demand is back in the driver's seat. The yen today is trading at 103.51. Now, that is a rather interesting level. It is very quickly approaching the dollar's progression of lower rally highs that has been in evidence for most of the year, ever since the Japanese instituted negative interest rates. And now here's the question: is it going to fail at this level, or is it going to break emphatically above it and maybe trade up to 105 at least? Now, the Nikkei is trading at 16,819. It was up about 0.5% today. 17,000 represents its progression of lower rally highs, and it's trading now in the region of the trend mean. So we need to see it having completed the mean reversion. What happens next is going to give us an indication of whether we're going to see demand returning to dominance. I've linked all of this to the dollar index, and I've regarded the dollar index as a lightning rod. But of course, it isn't just about dollar strength. It's also about yen and euro weakness. That has helped the index to get stronger. Now, what we have also seen just in the last day has been some talk out of the ECB that they are considering tapering their stimulus program. Now, if indeed they go ahead and do that, it is unlikely to be represent great news for a Eurozone economy that is not firing on all cylinders, to put it mildly. But it could potentially act as a bullish catalyst for the euro. And of course, if the euro goes up, the dollar goes down. That could be a welcome development for precious metals, but perhaps not such a welcome development for the Japanese or European stock markets. So I really do think that we are at a very interesting juncture here right now, and in which way we see these currencies resolve is going to give us a very clear indication of what it is that is going to give us the next clear breakout in some really quite major asset classes. The Fed has been worried about the bond market being too complacent, and I think that is rapidly changing. I don't think you could describe the bond market as being complacent any longer. TIPS yields, which are Treasury inflation-protected securities, they have bounced in here today. The long bond was down 23 ticks. The 10-year was down 9 ticks. We're continuing to see the bounce in yields. That's a higher reaction low in terms of that chart. And the Merrill Lynch 10-year total return index is rapidly coming back down to the region of its trend mean. So, yes, there is a short-term oversold condition now developing in some of these bond prices. But they will need to bounce emphatically to confirm that support is starting to come in here. There is increasing anxiety that the Fed is going to raise rates, and there is going to be an effect on the bond market as a result of that. But it is also worth pointing out that there is going to be an effect on bond proxies as a result of that. The SPDR Utility Index is our ETF is now trading below its 200-day moving average, and the consumer staples, and there are a significant number of dividend aristocrat type companies, not a small number of which are autonomies, are also, and that index is now trading below its 200-day moving average, but not in a dynamic fashion, not in the kind of dynamic that we've seen in the utility sector. And of course, there is a very key difference between the consumer staples and the utilities. The consumer staples are global, international businesses. The utilities aren't. So they are. They have a somewhat higher yield, and they are more susceptible to selling pressure than big international businesses that dominate their respective niches. Nevertheless, people that have been buying these types of shares for their bond proxy value, well, they are at risk from the perspective of bond yields rising. Because bond yields are, even if we were to say just that this has been a very big medium-term range in terms of bond prices or bond yields. If that is indeed the case, then we have just seen a failed downside break from that July low, and that if that is indeed the case, and the upper side of that range is at 3%, well then that represents where the upside risk is in terms of yields. So that is going to have an effect overall, and it is probably most particularly going to be in terms of those very high yielding shares that people have been looking to just pad out their yield portfolios. On the other side of the equation, the Nasdaq, a number of whose leading companies are not exactly noted for the longevity or their long records of increasing dividends, continues to lead on the upside, and it was up about a third of a percent in here today. Overall, though, the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones remain within their short-term ranges, and it does look like it's up one day down the next. So they were up a bit in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion. They really do need to break out to the upside in the same way that the Nasdaq has to confirm that that demand really is returning to dominance in here. Of course, the flip side of speculation that there is going to be an additional interest rate hike is that the S&P 500 banks index was quite firm in here today. Banks, of course, have been yearning for interest rate hikes, not least to give them some kind of profitability on their loan books, but most particularly in on their money market funds. And I think it is October 14th. I'll have to look that up, but I think it's October 14th that the new rules for money market funds come in. So what happens after that will probably be a better indication of what's really going on in the bond markets. Now, when we take a broader look, the mainland Chinese market is closed this week. I have seen some commentary that the aggressive move in precious metals yesterday was taking advantage of that fact. But the Hang Seng was in positive territory in here today. The Indian index is still trading in the region of its all-time highs, and this has been that we are seeing a little bit of back and forth that most indices are just consolidating in here. But I do think that the most important thing to keep an eye on is the dollar index, and or another way is to look at it are both the euro and the yen crosses with the dollar. And elsewhere in the commodity complex, oil prices today were up an additional dollar on WTI and about 70 cents, 77 cents on Brent crude. And there's a short-term overbought condition, but it is testing the upper side of the developing range. And well, here we are. It has found support in the region of the 200-day moving average. This has been a 3-month range, following a and it was a rather predictable range considering how quickly we'd seen that short covering rally really surge higher and see the prices double in a very short period of time. But now the question is whether we're going to see it breaking out. Brent crude is at around 51.64 right now. The upper side of the range is at around 53. It's actually not quite $53. So we're really not that far away from the upper side of the range. And if we see it sustain a move above 53, well, then that would signal a return to demand dominance. Quite how far oil prices can rally when we know that a substantial amount of additional new supply can come into the market above those levels is probably open to question. But in the absence of a clear downward dynamic at these levels, I think we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the downside, even though the most likely scenario is that we get at least a pause in at these levels. And I think with that, I think it is also just worth pointing out that the mining sector has not been nearly as volatile as the precious metal sector. The oil and gas sector, it has been really quite firm and is bouncing from the region of its trend mean. Commodity related markets remain really quite firm as well. And overall, when you look at, say, the FTSE 350 mining index or the ASX 300 resources index, then you're presented with orderly step sequence uptrends that have been in evidence all year. And then these are consistent trends that really are very easy to analyze, and that tells us that there is a clear demand dominated story overall. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.